We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, man. Ryan freaking Young, dude. Come on now.
We got to get our quick, or this is our final autograph episode.
Hold on. Time out. Can we begin with a like, hey, welcome to the Crazy Cast or what?
Yo, welcome to the Crazy Cast. We are back. Sorry for this long, crazy intro. Duke is going to the Elite Eight. We got a lot to talk about, but first, obviously, have to call out Autograph. Shout out to Autograph. I guess you can, if you want to go to Houston or Dallas, go to Dallas. You got one day and you get $16 tickets. Use the code CRAZY to download the app. Anyway, yes, sir.
Come on now.
Ryan, go ahead, man.
I mean, like, there's a bunch of guys I want to shout out, but just first and foremost, a guy who has been through the ringer, at least on Duke social media for the past 2 years, Ryan Young, man, stepping up. We don't have the stats in front of us right now, but the plus minus on his had to have been booming. Dude, what a game, man. I'm not going to sit here and dog on Mitchell, but the fact that he just didn't have his A game tonight and Ryan Young came in and did his thing, he was defending well, he was rebounding well. He dunked the freaking ball. He cut to the paint and dunked the ball tonight. I mean, I don't know where that puts the scorecard with him and Proctor on the dunks for the year. It might be 3-3, maybe 4-3 Proctor, but shout out Ryan Young. That was an amazing performance. Kyle Filipowski showing emotion, taking over the game in some aspect there. They got him the ball. He was feeding guys. He was getting in the lane, doing what he does and what we know Flip is best at, and just – calling in the double teams, and he didn't turn the ball over hardly at all tonight, which was impressive with the double teams and the defense that Houston does. And then, I mean, come on now, Jeremy Roach in the second half was just a Jeremy Roach that we've seen in March and marches in the past. So great team victory. Tyrese Proctor even down the stretch with two steals. I think he forced like 3 to 4 turnovers at least. And so Proctor in the defensive end when Shed was out was impeccable and denying Crier. So what a game, man. The fact Houston, great season. Sucks that Shed went out. Obviously helped in Duke's favor. Who knows what happens if he's still playing, but man, these guys showed some fight, man. This, if you think back to when we played NC State in the ACC tournament and UNC prior to that, this is a different team, man. Like the team that showed up and came out after we got punched in the mouth tonight to bounce back the way they did was a great sign. And now we get some revenge. We get a revenge game against NC freaking State in the Elite Eight. Who would have thought that 2 weeks and 3 days ago when they were down against Louisville at halftime? Like, unbelievable. And that's not to say that it's a walk in the park. This is a different NC State team. I mean, this is different. But who would have thunk it, man? Who would have thunk it? What a game. So pumped. This is awesome.
Yeah, one thing I will say before Russ jumps in, all the people in the comments, I see too many people saying prayers to Jamal Shedd. But, bro, I don't care how we won the game. We won the game. In 10 years, when you look back at this final result, you're not going to talk about, yo, Jamal Shedd got hurt. So, no, it's March, man. Injuries happen. We lost Caleb Foster. I'm not saying they're the same player. They're not the same player. But injuries happen. They're a part of the game. You got to adjust. Like I tweeted, Kevin Ware, Louisville. Me and Russ talked about it. Must and Ryan talked about it during the game. Kevin Ware against Louisville had the worst injury of all time. Louisville turned into the 96 Bulls and ran us out the gym all of a sudden. Like, all of a sudden, we weren't good enough to play Louisville. Injuries happen, bro. I don't care. I hope he gets well, but Duke won, man. That's what we care about, brother. But go ahead, Russ.
You know, I love an easy path. I'd like the easiest path possible. People say, like, people say, oh, don't you want to play the best teams and beat the best teams? Mm-mm. No, I don't care about that. What I care about is the result. That's all I care about. If we had played a 16 seed tonight, I would have been overjoyed. I wouldn't have been going, man, if only we were playing a full strength one seed. You know, I don't care about that at all. What matters is getting there. Do you think that the UConn fans are like, oh no, we're going to play a 6 seed maybe in the Final Four and maybe an 11 seed in the title? This means we're less legitimate. No, dude, because what happens is what happens, and you have to win the games, and that's it. And so if the path forward is fortuitous, then let that path open up. You know, nobody said we need to take the road hardest traveled or whatever the fuck, right? It's going to be the whatever road we get. You got to take it. You got to win the games. We won the game, and it was still so hard. I mean, Houston's dealt with injury issues all year. You know, not to shed, but they've had players hurt. They had more players than shed hurt tonight that they've been without for some period of time. They keep winning, though. And they keep winning because they're gutsy, because they're super tough. They're so, so tough. They don't quit. There's never once been an ounce of quit in Houston. So it was never going to be a given. You could have gone without Shed and more players. It still would have been tough because that's that culture, you know? So I was really, really proud of how the guys fought back. You know, when we went down early and Roach looked really shook, and Mark wasn't playing well all game, but in the first half also, it's like, man, what's going to happen here? This is the sort of game that could really get away from you. Like, Houston is the sort of team that capitalizes on those sorts of mistakes and lets it get away from you. And even before Shed went out, we were only down, what, like 6? Something like this? Considering we were, like, down 8-0 within the span of, like, 90 seconds or whatever. And then we kept fighting. I felt pretty good. I didn't feel, like, warm and fuzzy inside, but I felt decent that we were fighting. And then obviously the way we closed the half was strong. The way that Flip was playing, I knew we were going to win when it was clear that Flip was having fun. Like when he made that ISO 3, which I don't think is what John wanted him to take, but like when he made that ISO 3 and kind of did like the little, like he was stunting and, you know, talking to people and he was smiling a little bit, when he got the and one and was slapping his step over on the side, I was like, oh man, he's having a good time out there. When Flip's having a good time, it's problems for the other team, man. They didn't have an answer for him. Once Roach didn't have Shed draped all over him, Roach, his life got a lot easier, obviously, but also he made the shots when they mattered. Jared made some nice shots in the first half. Tyrese Proctor, you know, people are going to look at his line and go like, oh, the line. He had like a 2-3 minute stretch down towards the end of the second half that changed the game for us. Multiple elite defensive stops against Cryer, against the guards of Houston. He made a shot in there too, where he drilled it. Yeah. It hit no part of the rim. Yeah. And then the MVP of the game, Ryan Young. There was such a marked difference between when Mitchell was in the game and when Ryan Young was in the game. It just wasn't Mitchell's day. This is not, you know, this was not a game for Mark for whatever reason. And really it was because even though, was it Roberts who kept backing him down? I think it was Roberts. Even though Roberts is only like 6'7" or whatever, he's just a big dude and he knows how to work in the post in a way that Mark like just doesn't really know how to defend. He's a lot more of like a versatility scrap, like, you know, jump around, make deflections kind of dude. He's not a dude who is going to just like sit in the paint, guard like a guy who knows how to play in the paint face up, or not face up. Like, he's going to get backed down by a guy like that. Ryan Young won't get backed down like that. For all of Ryan Young's like mobility issues, he knows where to be, and he's strong, and he plays smart. And he would have played more, and he would have had an even better game had he not had a very, very light whistle, which I was very surprised by. I'm nobody to ever gripe about the whistle, but man, in a game like this, for Ryan Young to get three of the lightest foul calls I'd ever seen was pretty shocking. Who else? Was there anybody else noteworthy? I loved also, even though he didn't come back in the game, that very brief stretch of Jaylen Blake's. I was just
going to say that.
It was just a couple of minutes, but he made a good defensive play. He got a clutch rebound. He got fouled. He made his free throws. What more can you want from Dr. Chaos? You know, he came in and he mucked it up a little bit. So you've got to feel good about it. It's going to be a tough game in the Elite Eight because, boy, nobody's playing more confidently than NC State right now. Their confidence is through the roof. They definitely believe they can beat anybody. We need to have a better game plan this go around than we did in the ACC tournament, obviously. But I also think we're playing with more confidence than we were playing at that point. So really exciting game coming up Sunday. And I saw in the UNC, in a UNC Discord or whatever, when they saw it was going to be Duke versus State, they were posting like Hitler versus Stalin.
I love it.
At least one of them will lose, you know, consolation, you know.
That's amazing. Real quick, yeah. Zion, before you jump in, the tip time for Sunday is 5:05 Eastern time. Duke versus NC State. Obviously, Ian Eagle, Bill Raftery, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson on the call, but 5:05 Eastern time on Easter Sunday. So plan your brunches, your lunches, your dinners accordingly for Sunday. 5:05 Eastern time, Duke tips against NC State. Zion, let's hear it, man. What do you got?
He's still firing. He's firing off some tweets.
Oh, there, you're back. All right, you're back.
There's some NBA writers trying to annoy me, like, when.
Oh, no. Zion's internet is going
through. Zion's internet really wasn't comparing them as players. But, yeah, man, I think you guys pretty much covered everything defensively, man. I think this team defensively, I tweeted it, I think, last game. They haven't got enough credit for how they're playing defensively. How they've been defensively all year, pretty much. Like, Duke is a good defensive team. They have a championship-type defense at this point, you know.
Yeah.
I know Houston's not the best offensive team, you know, although they did drop 100 last game, you know, although in overtime. But just, like, even the connection on defense, they had denying Cryer the ball at points. And it was just, like, it was just a great team effort. All around, obviously, like y'all said, Ryan Young. That's the best Duke game I've seen from Ryan Young. And, you know, the numbers may not show it, but he looked like the veteran big, like they've been preaching they wanted all year, you know. So kudos to him. Mark didn't play his best game, but, you know, hey, it's matchups, all about matchups. And if you have, you know, the right matchup, next game might be a Mark game. Next game might be a Sean game. I mean, we saw Sean kill NC State in the first matchup. But, you know, Ryan showed up tonight, and that's what championship teams have. They have specific role players show up in key moments. But, yeah, man, I think we all probably had Houston winning in our bracket. Let's be honest. Let's get that out the way.
Nope.
Shut up, Ryan. Ryan, I don't want to. Ryan, shut up. Shut up in your real bracket.
Let the record show I did take Duke plus 4.5 today.
Everybody has a Duke bracket, of course. Everyone has a real bracket.
Okay, I got my first one I filled out. Got the first one I filled out when the bracket was revealed. And there's Duke. And if you want to, I mean, I can show you my Yahoo one and my ESPN one. They both have Duke. So
I don't care, bro. I don't
just
care.
Let you know, I'm not bullshit.
You know how you felt about this game. Don't lie for the camera, bro. Don't lie for the camera.
I was nervous as anybody, but I'm as I wasn't like I bet Duke money line and Duke plus 4.5 all in the same thing. Okay. So
we all wanted Duke to win, obviously. We all were dying, rooting for our lives, hoping Duke won, you know. But you know,
I think, and if you want me to bring it out, this
shut,
is
shut up, bro.
This is the final four list from our Selection Sunday. It's still sitting here on my desk. Bro, if we want to go over that one,
stop lying for the camera. But you know, this team has evolved, and I think we've all seen their growth in this tournament. And you know, there's an opportunity on Sunday to do something really special. You know, although yeah. the goal is a national championship, but I think we will all consider the season a success just getting to the Final Four. And you know, it's a familiar opponent. It's gonna be tough. I don't know which Duke is gonna, which NC State is gonna show up, I should say, but
I wanna give some flowers to Shire and the staff real quick, just from preparation standpoint, but from two other standpoints is one, Duke got punched in the mouth right away and they could have folded. They folded it in times like against UNC a couple times, against NC State in the tournament. They didn't really fold against NC State in the tournament, but just seemed like they never really got their swagger back in that game. But in this game, they could have folded real quick going down. I think it was what, 6-8-0 early, something like that, 8 points early. Bounced back really good. But also the timeouts that Shire was using, I don't know if anybody else was keeping an eye on this, when Flip, trying to keep Flip in the game as long as possible, he took two timeouts. I think one in the first half, it was just above the 8 o'clock, or not 8 o'clock, 8 minute TV timeout. He took a timeout to give Flip some rest, or maybe it was above the 4 minute. And then the second half, he did it at 5 minutes left to give Flip and his guys some rest, because they were playing at that point six guys for the most part. So Shire did a great job managing the clock. I thought at the end of the game, he did as great of a job as he could have. I thought that fouling was the right move at the end of the game. Obviously, he trusted his defense in making a stop there. They got the shot that they wanted, a deep shot by Sharp. And then the ball, I think, went out of bounds at the end. But the staff and Shire, shout out to them. Great game plan coming in. And then when Shed went out, they denied. And I think, Russ, you're the first to tweet it that I saw, but denied Cryer as much as they possibly could, which was tough at times, but they did exactly what you would expect a team when Shed was out. They go after the next guy, and I think they did a really good job. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what adjustments they make from the last matchup against NC State and see what Duke throws out there. Because like you said, Zion, Sean Stewart played a great game the first time around. Second time around, didn't go as well. And so I'm interested to see how the game plan goes, how Duke adjusts from NC State in the ACC tournament to NC State after they've won, what, 7-8 in a row now. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
My bad. I'm just looking at these
dudes. Zion, are you busy cooking on Twitter? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not even cooking, bro. This dude just made me mad. Like, he's just like, he thinks I'm comparing.
He's getting cooked. All right, real quick, and this isn't we all on even playing terms here, but just since Zion's, we're filling time here. Russ, you had Houston, Purdue, UConn, Zona, and your initial Final Four. Zion, yes. Marquette, Tennessee, UConn, and Arizona, and I had Duke, Creighton, UConn, Arizona. So we all got two left. Russ is from the original one, has Purdue and UConn. Zion, you have Tennessee and UConn, and I have Duke and UConn left from that original Selection Sunday show. So not terrible, not great, but none of our, I guess, we all had UConn, but none of us, any of our sleeper-ish teams made it in there. So it's going to be interesting, man, because Clemson's got a chance to potentially make some crazy noise somehow.
Who do they play? Yeah. Who does Clemson play?
Clemson plays, oh, my God, they beat, they got UNC. They play Alabama.
Wow. I mean, it's so crazy having watched so much ACC basketball all year. And if you watched Clemson like in January, or if you watched NC State literally at all until the last 3 weeks, you'd be like, not a chance.
was it NC State that lost by like 20 to Boston College, or no, that was Clemson in the ACC tournament, right? They got beat by 20 to Boston College.
Yeah, NC State was awful this year. I can't emphasize enough that Kevin Keats was out the door.
Well, absolutely.
Like, people don't think about this, I guess, but there they're within a possession of Louisville with 2 minutes left in that game. If McNeely makes one free throw, Kevin Keats is fired. Yeah. Right? Like, it's unbelievable. And he's an 80% shooter or something from the line. Like, yeah. It's unbelievable how things broke. And then they capitalize on their opportunities. This isn't taking anything away from them. It's just the facts. They're capitalizing now on their opportunities, and they're playing out of their minds. I saw my buddy Kai made the comparison, and people were angry at him about it, where he said this reminded him of that Oregon State run. Like, yeah. NC State's a little better than Oregon State in the regular season, but the point that he was making was NC State was bad this year, was not sniffing the tournament under any circumstance this year, had a coach who was basically a lame duck at that point, and is now a game away potentially. They're playing for a Final Four on Sunday, right? Yeah. Like, it's unreal. And Clemson, like, same thing. Brad Brownell, they start the season great. They beat TCU. I think they beat Alabama earlier this year, if I recall correctly, at Alabama, which is interesting. And then they get to ACC play and immediately start playing poorly. Immediately. And everyone kind of goes back to the, like, man, we need Brownell out of here, man. We need Brownell out of here. This is our most talented team. So promising a start, and now we're done, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then now look at him. And I mean, it's not nearly the same as either of those just because of the talent level. But, like, you know, we had some conversations early in ACC play where we were like, we have no idea what to expect. Yeah. We acknowledged the entire way through that the talent was there, but we just weren't playing up to the talent level earlier in the year. And I realized that's what, like, the year is for. But again, those last two games before the NCAA tournament were very discouraging.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ross, what do you say to people who think the ACC got snubbed on seeding and it should be NC State in a different region than Duke, so we could possibly have three ACC teams in the Final Four?
They're insane. They're insane. NC State, honestly,
rolling, by the way.
NC State is lucky that they're an 11 seed. They should have probably been a 12 seed.
Yeah.
Like, they were worse this season with their resume. They had a worse resume and worse metrics than James Madison.
We got a UNC fan in here talking shit about watching.
I'm so ashamed. Bro, what did Nate Oates say? The boys that
from no practice for Chapel Hill.
They don't got practice tomorrow, my boy.
Gone fishing. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, we don't need to talk about the ACC thing because it's insane. But you have to just credit. I do think there's an interesting conversation to be had about that ACC teams. The style of play is different than what builds a regular season resume, which is what determines whether you get into the tournament or not. But the style of play seems to be conducive to single elimination tournament play in the same way that the Big Ten seems to generally, now this year might end up being different, but generally has not been conducive to single elimination tournament play. So, you know, that doesn't change anything from the regular season, but I'm overjoyed that we are one of the ACC teams that is still left and is still playing. That's all that matters to me, is that we survive in advance. That's it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, that gotta suck for Carolina, though. I see all these Carolina fans in this chat for some reason.
What else are they doing?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know,
they're begging Cade Tyson to choose them in the portal. Like that's
dang, they dominated the whole year. Dang, not even you got to watch NC State, Clemson, and Duke on.
That's wild, man. That was my biggest thing going into this game was being nervous about was being like sitting at home this weekend and watching freaking Clemson and NC State.
Freaking, we're not in kindergarten here. It's fine. I don't care.
Okay. Well, we're on field of 68. Just making sure. Watching.
Oh, you think Dowser and Goodman don't swear like sailors on their show?
All right, fine. Watching fucking Clemson and NC State duke it out for a Final Four while Duke and UNC sit at home and watch would have been like the lowest of low, I feel like, for ACC and Duke. Oh, look at that, man. That's so cool. Who tweeted that? Is that the official men's account tweeted that? Oh, March Madness. Okay.
They're having a good time. Yeah, I got to say, it's really, really interesting to me. Not that it changes anything, because I guarantee you that Carolina fans, I already know what their answer would be. But since they beat us in the Final Four and they won the last game at Cameron against K, which they did and they deserve all the credit for. Yeah. They had the season from hell last year. And then this year, everything looks very promising. They make it to the Sweet 16, as does Caleb Love.
Yeah.
And both Caleb Love and RJ Davis have the worst games of their careers on the exact same day, knocking both of their respective teams out. Meanwhile, Jalen Withers is just like, look at me, I can shoot, you know, like having just a grand old time out there. So, like, it's an interesting Twilight Zone-y kind of turn of events of, you know, like when fortune smiles greatly upon you, what, you know, might unfold down the line as some sort of universal karmic retribution for the grand, marvelous fortune that fell at your feet in 2022. I'm sure every UNC fan would say we'll still take how it's played out. And I don't blame them, but it's interesting. I'm interested to see what happens to them next season.
Yeah,
I'm not interested. I'm interested in what happens to Duke on Sunday. That's about it.
Sure. I have the cognitive capacity to be interested in multiple things simultaneously.
Oh wow, that's a shot.
If you want to read it that way.
I don't care. I don't care, buddy. Nothing anybody says tonight can ruin my joy, man.
I hear you. I agree.
Duke is going back to Elite Eight, bro, with a chance. We one game away from the four, man. We one game away from the four. Oh,
that's a good my shot. Goodness.
That's wild, man. And yeah, I mean, but think about the headspace we were at after that. That NC State game, also even the UNC game at home, like you can't tell me Duke fans right now would have, if you would have told them that we were going to be playing for a Final Four appearance, that you would believe it. I mean, and beat a number one seed at that, like 3 weeks ago, I don't think many Duke fans would have believed that, right?
Not at all. No. I mean, if you had to be realistic with how the season was ending, You were warranted to believe that, okay, this team might struggle. I still believe the team was getting out the first weekend. I just worried about this game today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Zion, you and I both – I think we both said when we did our show after the State loss that we expect – or when we did the live show and looked at the bracket, you know, that we expected to make the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
You know, but then – and, again, if Shed plays – maybe it's different, but it played out how it played out, and it was still a hard-fought game, and we still had to get punched in the mouth, and we still had to persevere. So we're still here, Elite Eight. I feel good about it. And the fact that we're playing an 11 seed and an 11 seed that we're familiar with is cool.
That's the big one. The fact we're familiar with them, and we lost to them the last time.
If it
was a situation where we ran them out the gym the last game like we did the first game, I might be a little bit worried because it's like dang, you know, they're a completely different team. But we faced them while they were peaking. In fact, we might be the reason why they started peaking. So
that gave them faith. That gave them hope, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I think, you know, John will have them boys ready.
Yeah, I think we need to punch first. I think we need to punch hard. I think we need to, you know, we talked about this last time, Zion. So many of these teams are just letting DJ Burns just like chill out on defense.
Yeah.
Like they're just letting Burns chill out on defense. You've got to make him work. You've got to try to wear him down some so that he can't be on the court incessantly. And then if you were watching that game today, I'm not going to say that it's just shooting variance, because it's not always shooting variance, and certainly some open looks, once you've seen a number of shooting variance misses miss, then it gets in your head, and then that starts to affect things. They had many clean looks from three. Marquette did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like if we can get those sorts of clean looks and we can convert them in a way that Marquette did not, then I obviously really like our chances, but we got to make Burns work, and we've got to take Horn out of the game in a way that Marquette was not able to today, obviously.
Which is, here's the thing, right, is we have the personnel to do that, right? We just, in the ACC tournament, it was, in my opinion, it was a fluke. Watching this video, I've seen it now 80 million times on our screen. This team's has confidence, right? Like after that first 4 minutes of this game, you wouldn't have thought that Duke had the confidence going forward, but like, this is what you don't want to see if you're an NC State fan, right? Is this Duke team playing with the confidence that they're playing with? And that's going to be tough for NC State because they only have a couple of guys that can hurt you. And Duke has their entire starting five that can hurt you in some capacity. And so if you take away Burns' effect on the offensive side by targeting him on the defensive side, not letting him sit and do nothing and just guard Mark Mitchell the whole time down low, Duke can win this game with ease if they just play to their game and to their strengths. And so getting by Houston has to be a huge confidence boost for this team, especially after only beating a 13 and a 12 seed. This team has to be oozing with confidence after tonight. I'm super excited for it. Obviously I have a lot of film and a lot of experience with playing NC State and this team with two games under their belt. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't really ask probably for like what other, I mean, besides some other lower seed, what other opponent would you have preferred to see here than NC State? This is great. I mean,
that was still in the round of 32 or whatever. Like
exactly. Yeah, I mean, like
Oakland, but like you know, like, but after Oakland, none, probably NC State. I mean, like, you know, You take the opponent that gives you the best chance of victory. I mean, the Vegas lines have already come out. We're 6.5-point favorites. I don't think we would have been a 6.5-point favorite over any other team that realistically would have been there outside of Oakland. So, yeah, of course I'd want to face NC State.
Yeah.
Obviously. That doesn't mean that NC State can't beat us. We know for a fact that they can. They have before. We just have to play our game and we have to come out and hit first. We can't spot them 14 points or whatever we did in the NCAA tournament. That was our downfall, you know, and then we didn't have the wherewithal to fight back. So we're just fighting a lot harder now. You know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit? And remember how we talked about how in the State game that Flip was really the only one that looked like he was really fighting out there? Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit, Flip's play of, well, you know what? Never mind. I don't even want to say it. There's a prospect in Duke's past that I won't name that I think fans can put together who, Duke fans weren't very happy with down the stretch of the regular season and thought, oh, you know, he's kind of checked out. Oh, he's like this, he's that. And then when this particular player played in the postseason, he played very well, and it was not his fault that Duke team ended up losing.
Man, I don't know if I'm following. Zion, are you following this one?
It's an older one. Maybe you don't know. But, like, the point being, like, I think that fans sometimes, when you see like a run of play that we know is potentially a little substandard, you forget that like really, really talented dudes who love the spotlight. And I mean, we saw Flip play really well last year, you know, down the stretch as well. I just think he's a dude who loves the spotlight, man. I think he wants these moments. I really do. And I know that it would have been nice to see some more of those moments in the regular season, but it's better to have them now than to not have them. And I've been so, so impressed. And I guarantee NBA scouts are impressed as well.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I actually have a flight in about 7-8 hours.
What?
I just realized I ain't packed nothing.
Because you're going to Texas for the McDonald's, right?
Yeah. We'll be with Coop tomorrow, Coop Flag, Isaiah Evans this weekend, and also the Tar Heels. Yo, give y'all a little hint. If y'all remember those Draft Express videos, the Kyrie Irving arguing against the Tar Heels,
yep.
We're bringing that back. We're bringing that back this year. So, you know, we'll have Cooper Flag talk a little smack to all the UNC recruits.
That's for fun. All right, Zion, get to packing, man. Go to bed.
What other Duke guys are playing in the game? And what day is the game? Is it Saturday?
Tuesday.
It's an early in the week game. Yeah.
Tuesday. Oh, it's early in the week. Oh, it's not on the weekend. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wrong. What other Duke guys are playing in the game?
It's only Isaiah and Coop.
Isaiah and Coop. That's it.
Yeah.
What's his face didn't make it. Harris didn't make it.
Khan didn't make it either.
Yeah.
Khan doesn't qualify.
Yeah. No, well, I figured that, but I for whatever reason I thought that Khan had made it.
No, and Patrick was hurt. Patrick was hurt all year, so.
Yeah, Big Pat's still hurt. Yeah. Wow. I'm very, very excited. I'm very, very excited. I told my wife, you know, before this game, I was like, man, I think we're going to know at the beginning of the game how this game is going to go. And so then based on the beginning of the game, I was like, all right, maybe it's going to be that kind of day. And then Duke punched back, man, and really fought back hard. And a lot of things fell our way. And, man, I'm pretty excited. Are these all the people scolding you on?
I was going to say, you know, you're showing your notifications right now, right?
You say, who? Me? Duke fans is cooking. They're cooking. Come on, bro.
Don't let a porn bot scroll past
you. Oh, yeah. Let me tell. Yeah,
you might need to chill.
I got way too many of those. How do I get up this screen?
Here, I'll do it.
Why am I looking at this dude's Chrome dome, man? What's going on?
Yo.
My man looking like an Easter egg on Maine.
That is a crazy. How many of these teams, when you look at them, would you have guessed would have been the Elite Eight?
Well,
maybe three or four, probably.
I had four of them, and I definitely strongly considered Illinois.
Who's your fourth? Oh, you had Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, before the season, though, not like.
Oh, before the season? Honestly, before the season, I thought Alabama would be better than they were this year. And Illinois, I thought was like a top 10 team coming into the season. I was really high on Illinois. So like
three or four, right?
I'd honestly say in terms of surprise that they're here, only Clemson and NC State. Those are the surprises. Like Alabama is a surprise based on the way the season played out and they don't play any defense at all. So that surprises me. Yeah. But the other five, UConn, Purdue, Tennessee, Illinois, Duke, I mean, they were all teams that were like top 10, top 12 type teams at the beginning of the season. So not terribly surprised by any of their inclusions. And even Clemson beat Alabama at Alabama earlier in the year, and we were kind of like, man, what could this Clemson team be? I mean, like NC State. They are playing out of their minds right now, man. I am flabbergasted that they are here. I am flabbergasted. Completely to their credit. Kevin Keats is a man possessed right now. DJ Burns is a man possessed. But
if I'm making a prediction right now, the whole left side of this, it will be the Final Four. I'm just going to call it. That's my prediction. And that's not like a bold take by any means. All favorites probably winning. But I think that's what it comes down to.
I do believe those are all four of the favored teams, Ryan. So correct. That's
hey, if I'm running the Zion train here, I'm the one that I'm going to tweet it out after it happens that I called it. I was right.
I mean, Bama's got to be favored over Clemson, right?
Oh yeah, Bama. They're all all four on the left are favored. But I mean, it makes sense. Like if anybody in the right, I mean, God, if Clemson beats out. But here's the thing: I tweeted it out is the Inflategate with the NCAA tournament and balls being inflated too high. Russ, you commented on it right away, and it's kind of blowing up now. There's a TikTok going around about it that there's a conspiracy that these balls are way too bouncy going back to the first round. And so if Alabama doesn't shoot and score like they have been, Clemson's got a chance.
I think in some of the locations, maybe that has some merit. I mean, obviously not in all of the locations because certainly in Brooklyn, we were shooting out of our minds, like there's nothing wrong with that one. I was noting in the Dallas game and in the NC State Marquette game, how many of the shots for both teams, mind you, for both teams were like bouncing multiple times on the rim and then bouncing out. And we saw, in our game, there was that one shot by Cryer, like a sort of mid or no, it was Shed right before Shed got hurt. He had like a pull up mid ranger hit every part of the rim. It was just like I was playing at the park again, playing at Riverside Park in Jacksonville, Florida with those whack ass rims, right? Like it straight up was bouncing exactly like that. And so there was something going on in terms of shooting the ball. Like if it was hitting the rim at all, it was not going in. So
it was wild, the bounces it was taking. And they even talked about in the TikTok that I shared, just dribbling errors that wouldn't happen, just regular common dribbling the ball and stuff flying away from them. So anyways, Zion, go pack, go to bed.
Yeah, man. I'm all with y'all, man. See y'all on Sunday, man. Hey, wait, what a lose Sunday, man.
We'll be here.
Great moment for us. So, hopefully we're back on Sunday after win. But I'm gonna let y'all, man.
Yeah, we'll be back Sunday either way, right?
Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you.
Good night.
Zion literally was like, I'm out of here.
You've got to stop the recording.
Oh, I do have to stop it. Oh, he is.